You know the exact feeling I'm talking about.
Oh, I think everyone knows it.
Right. It is late at night. The harsh blue glow of your laptop screen is just illuminating your totally stressed out face.
Yeah, the classic holiday panic.
Exactly. And you have exactly, I don't know, 15 tabs open. Your online shopping cart is full of stuff that, let's be painfully honest here, nobody actually asked for.
Just adding to cart to feel productive.
You are just buying things to cross names off a list.
Mm.
And you are already bracing for that that inevitable wince when the January credit card bill arrives.
It's the worst.
Up into the holiday shopping spiral, right? But what if you could just, I mean, completely pump the brakes?
Just stop the madness.
Yes. What if, instead of buying 10 mediocre, instantly forgettable things for 10 different people, you brought one incredible gift the entire family could genuinely enjoy together?
Now that is a paradigm shift.
It totally is. So hello and welcome to the Pitcott Podcast. We are your hosts, Annabelle and Bill Pitcott, and we are absolutely thrilled you are joining us today for this, well, this intervention, basically.
It really is an intervention.
Before we rescue your holiday season and your wallet, I have to share some incredible news with you. Today's deep dive is sourced directly from Pitcott.
The absolute best source for this.
Totally. Specifically, we are extracting some brilliant, actionable wisdom from the bestseller ebooks currently available on our ebook store.
Yes, there is so much good material in there.
There is. So I highly encourage you to visit www.pitcott.com/dneworkbooks to download these incredible resources for yourself.
You really don't want to miss out on those.
And while you are at it, please subscribe to our channel if you haven't. Activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.
Yes, please do.
We appreciate you giving us a 5-star rating to propel this podcast to help others too. Okay, so we are tackling this chaotic checklist mentality today.
It is such a vital question to ask, and frankly, it is a relief to talk about it. That multi-tab panic you just described is, you know, universally felt.
Oh, universal.
But nobody stops to question why we actually do it. The Pitcott source material completely dismantles that whole approach.
Thank goodness.
Right. Today, we are breaking down 7 highly effective, completely filler-free family gift ideas.
I love that. Filler-free.
Exactly. We are talking about moving entirely away from consumer hype and focusing exclusively on strategies that replace the exhaustion of the checklist with the architecture of genuine shared connection.
The architecture of connection.
Yeah, we are focusing on mechanisms that actually pull people into the exact same room.
That is a great way to frame it. The Pitcott source suggests starting with something incredibly simple, which is frictionless digital gifts.
Simple but powerful.
Right. Specifically, streaming subscriptions paired with comfort food baskets. Now, I am looking at this like Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu, and I have to be the skeptic here for a second.
Okay, lay on me.
Doesn't handing someone a streaming subscription feel a little bit like a cop-out?
I can see why you'd say that.
I mean, it feels like wrapping up a utility bill. Like, happy holidays, I paid for your digital infrastructure. It does not exactly scream thoughtful, you know?
Huh. I completely understand why it feels a bit clinical at first glance. If you just email someone a password, yes, it feels exactly like a utility bill.
Right. Just a sterile email.
But we have to look at the underlying psychological mechanism of what you are actually providing here. The Pitcott source makes a brilliant distinction.
Which is?
The gift is absolutely not the screen time.
Oh, okay.
The gift is the shared time. The secret weapon of a streaming subscription is the total removal of friction.
Friction. Like the friction of trying to agree on a movie for 45 minutes.
Well, even before you get to the menu screen. Think about the sheer logistical nightmare of getting 4 busy family members to sit perfectly still together for 2 solid hours on a random Tuesday.
Oh, it's basically impossible.
Right. You have the cognitive load of planning an activity.
Yeah.
You have the friction of getting dressed, driving somewhere, finding parking.
Ugh, the parking.
And then dropping, what, $80 on movie tickets and stale popcorn.
Easily $80, probably more.
By the time you actually sit down, everyone is already exhausted. A subscription is the ultimate hack because it annihilates every single one of those barriers to entry.
Okay, I see your point. you are lowering the barrier to entry to basically zero.
Exactly, zero.
No driving, no planning, no extra money spent.
Precisely. You just lower the living room lights and press play. Even the act of arguing over what to watch, scrolling through the menus, and finally compromising on some ridiculous comedy, that is a shared micro experience.
A shared micro experience. I like that.
It is frictionless connection. But to your earlier point about it feeling like a utility bill, the source explicitly says you cannot just gift the subscription alone.
Right. It needs something else.
You have to anchor it in the physical world, which is where the comfort food basket comes in.
Oh, right. Because nothing brings a teenager out of their bedroom and onto the couch faster than the sound of a snack bag opening.
So true. It works every time.
But the source is really specific here.
Right.
It is not just about throwing a generic store-bought block of cheddar and some stale crackers into a wicker basket.
Not at all. The underlying logic of the food basket is observation.
Observation.
Yes. It is the psychological validation of showing someone that you actually pay attention to them in their daily life. We default to generic gifts when we have not been observing.
Ah. So it is about the hyper-specific details.
Exactly.
Like if you notice your mom has been weirdly obsessed with spicy snacks lately, you do not just get her a bag of chips.
No, you dig deeper.
You track down an artisan hot honey. Or a really specific gourmet chili oil from that restaurant she loves.
Yes. Or if your brother is always talking about the 90s, you hunt down the exact discontinued retro candy you two used to fight over when you were 10.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When they open that box, it is an instant tactile sensory payoff.
Well, for sure.
But more importantly, the subtext of the gift is, I see you. I know what you love. Those specific details transform a simple food basket into a potent memory trigger.
A memory trigger.
Wow.
And look at how these two gifts interact. The streaming subscription removes the logistical friction of gathering, and the customized food basket provides the tactile, tailored reward for showing up.
You throw in a ridiculously cozy blanket, and you have mathematically engineered an entire evening of happiness.
It is an ecosystem for connection that pays out dividends every single week.
You know, when you lay it out like that, it actually makes the traditional sweater and a gift card combo incredibly lazy.
It really does.
But let's look at the flip side of this coin. Digital ease is fantastic for a Tuesday night, but screen fatigue is real.
Oh, completely.
Sometimes the absolute last thing a family needs is another glowing rectangle to stare at.
Right. We stare at screens all day long.
Exactly. The Pitcot source moves right from passive watching to active, tactile engagement, specifically highlighting classic board games and family history keepsakes.
It is the ultimate analog rebellion in an intensely digital world.
The analog rebellion.
A board game is so much more than just cardboard and plastic pieces. When you place a game like Monopoly, Scrabble, Codenames, or Catan in the center of a table, you are creating a localized, physical focal point.
It demands your attention.
It completely demands it.
No phones, no batteries dying at the worst moment, no unexpected software updates when you just want to play.
Right, and no relying on the Wi-Fi router holding up.
And you are forced to look at each other's faces.
The rules of a board game provide a structured, safe environment for conflict, alliance, and playfulness. It gives a family a set of parameters to interact within.
And usually that interaction devolves into total, hilarious chaos.
Oh, almost always.
I was laughing reading this section because the source talks about the magic of competition. It is never just a quiet, polite game.
Never. Someone always takes it way too seriously.
I think every family on earth has that universal core memory of someone, usually a dad or a highly competitive sibling, getting so irrationally angry at a game of Catan that they metaphorically or literally flip the board.
The famous board flip.
Yes. Or the unbelievable betrayal in a game of Codenames when your partner gives the worst clue in human history.
But that right there is the psychological weight of these analog gifts. The board game itself is just the catalyst.
Just the spark.
10 years from now, nobody remembers the score of that Catan game. What they remember is the flipping the board moment.
Right.
They remember the outrage over the terrible Codenames clue. Those moments crystallize into family lore.
Family lore. I love
it. They become the memory triggers that get repeated and laughed about around the Thanksgiving table for decades.
So true. You are essentially buying a factory for inside jokes.
Exactly.
But the source also mentions family history keepsakes in this exact same category of timeless tactile gifts.
Yes, and this is a really special one.
And this one really struck me because it requires a completely different kind of effort. We are talking about custom family history books, a printed and framed family tree, or, you know, taking the time to compile grandma's handwritten recipes into a bound collection.
The Pitcott source categorizes these as the slow burn gifts, and it makes a really poignant contrast here.
Tell me more about that.
Well, think about the life cycle of a high-end consumer gadget. You spend $500 on a smartwatch or a tablet.
Sure.
It gives a huge dopamine spike on day one, but 3 years from now, it is obsolete e-waste sitting dead in a junk drawer. Its value depreciates the second you open it.
Oh, wow. That is so true.
But a simple 20-page booklet of interviews you did with your grandparents, that outlasts every single tech trend.
In 50 years, that is the most valuable thing in the house.
Because it is rooted in personal history rather than consumer hype, it literally grounds a family's identity.
And the beauty is, it doesn't require a massive budget.
Not at all. You don't need to hire an expensive genealogist or a professional publisher.
Right. You just need your phone's voice memo app and a quiet afternoon with your grandparents.
Exactly. The effort of recording those stories, transcribing them, and binding them at a local print shop is the currency. The effort is exactly what gets noticed and cherished.
It is the ultimate expression of, I was paying attention. It is so simple, but it hits so incredibly hard.
It really does.
Now, before we completely leave the living room and step outside the house for this next brilliant set of ideas, I want to take a quick pause.
Good idea.
If you are finding these strategies as eye-opening as we are, I highly encourage you to visit www.pitcott.com.
There is so much more there.
Also, please subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
Don't miss out.
Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating. All right. Let's keep unraveling this.
Let's do it. We have spent a lot of time talking about transforming the environment inside the house.
We have.
But the Pitcott source also dives deeply into the immense power of stepping completely out of the daily routine.
Out of the house entirely.
Yes. This brings us to the realm of experience gifts, outdoor adventure gear, and hobby kits.
The out of routine magic. I am obsessed with experience gifts.
They are fantastic.
Concert tickets, minor league baseball games, weekend cabin trips, local escape rooms, or even just wandering around a weird local museum.
All great examples.
But wait, I have to ask. An experience is fleeting, right?
Technically, yes.
The concert ends. The baseball game finishes. How does something that vanishes after 3 hours compete with a physical gift you can hold forever?
That is the core paradox of the experience gift, and the source explains exactly why it works. It all comes down to violently disrupting what psychologists call parallel living.
Parallel living? Wait, what's that?
Think about a typical evening at home. The family is in the same house, maybe even in the same room, but everyone is living in parallel universes.
Oh, I see.
One person is on a tablet, another is watching a separate TV show on their phone, someone is answering emails. You are physically close, but completely disconnected.
Wow, parallel living. That is painfully accurate. You are just roommates passing each other in the hallway.
Exactly. An experience gift forces intersection.
Forces intersection.
Yes. When you are standing in the front row of a concert, or when you are locked in a room trying to decipher a blacklight clue in an escape room, everyone's parallel universes suddenly collide.
You are all in the exact same moment.
You are all reacting to the exact same stimulus at the exact same time. The shared adrenaline spike, the shared frustration of a puzzle, the shared awe of a live band that synchronizes your brains.
That is so cool.
The physical event disappears, but the emotional synchronization sticks around forever.
That makes total sense. Like,
yeah.
When we did that escape room last year, and I spent 20 minutes trying to unlock a prop door that wasn't even part of the game.
That was hilarious.
We still laugh about how aggressively confident I was. That shared focus is everything.
It really is.
And I think that ties absolutely perfectly into the next category, outdoor adventure gear. Now, I will admit, dragging people off a comfortable couch and into the woods sounds like a tough sell.
It can definitely be a tough sell. But we are not necessarily talking about extreme mountaineering here. This could be basic hiking gear, a shared camping setup, bikes, or literally just a high-quality cooler and some folding chairs for a picnic at the local park.
Or just a frisbee.
Exactly, just a frisbee. But the genius of this strategy lies in a concept the source calls shared discomfort.
Shared discomfort. When I read that, I laughed out loud.
It sounds totally counterintuitive, right?
It sounds like a corporate team-building exercise gone wrong. How is making my family uncomfortable a good gift?
Because minor, manageable discomfort acts as a unifying adversary.
A unifying adversary.
Think about it. When you are on a flawlessly executed, silent, luxury dinner date, there is no narrative arc.
Right, nothing happens.
But when you take the family on a hike, and the weather is a little chillier than expected, and the hill is steeper than it looked, and someone steps in a mud puddle...
Suddenly, you have a team.
You have a team.
You all bond over complaining about the hill.
Yes. The elements become the adversary you're conquering together. Plus, outdoor environments naturally strip away the crutch of screens and notifications.
Because there's no signal anyway.
Exactly. You are left with absolutely nothing to do but put one foot in front of the other and talk to the person next to you. Families remember those vivid, slightly challenging, highly sensory moments far better than 100 perfectly comfortable, forgettable nights indoors.
I love the idea of the muddy puddle being the glue that holds the family together.
It usually is.
But what if climbing a steep hill in the cold is just fundamentally not your family's speed?
That's a fair question.
The Pitcot Source offers a really clever alternative for disruption. Hobby kits and subscription boxes.
Yes, the slow reveal.
We are talking elaborate baking kits, true crime mystery boxes where you solve a fake murder, gardening starters, or even a monthly coffee tasting box. But let me challenge this one.
Go ahead.
Doesn't a subscription box just stretch out the clutter? I mean, instead of one piece of junk in December, you get 12 pieces of junk throughout the year.
If you buy a generic, low-quality box of trinkets, then yes, it is absolutely just scheduled clutter.
Scheduled clutter, okay.
But the Source is explicitly talking about activity-based kits. It is about the psychological power of the slow reveal.
How does that work?
A traditional gift gives you a massive dopamine hit on the day you open it, and then the excitement plummets off a cliff. An activity subscription box stretches that joy curve out over an entire year.
Right, because it arrives again in February, and then you get another one in May, and another in August.
Exactly. Every single time that box lands on the porch, it is a tangible, physical reminder that someone was thinking ahead.
It keeps the connection going.
It proves that the intention behind the gift wasn't just a one-time obligatory transaction to check a box. The intention was sustained connection.
And to your point about clutter, the Beth kits are consumable.
Yes, exactly.
You bake the incredibly complex cake together, you eat it, and the experience is over. You argue over who the killer is in the true crime box, you solve it, and you recycle the paper.
It leaves no trace except the memory.
It is brilliant. You pick a loose shared interest, and it automatically becomes a recurring group activity. You all naturally gather in the kitchen when the baking box arrives.
It builds a habit.
Which actually leads me to perhaps the most crucial question of this entire deep dive.
Oh, this is the big one.
All of these gifts, the frictionless streaming, the chaotic board games, the adrenaline of the escape rooms, the slow reveal of the boxes.
Yeah.
They are all conceptually amazing.
They really are.
But what happens when the novelty wears off? Because novelty always wears off.
Yeah. You know?
How do you make the magic actually stick?
That brings us to the absolute ultimate hack. It is the defining takeaway of the entire Pitcot Source material, and tragically, it is the one step that almost everyone skips.
Okay, what is it?
You cannot just rely on the gift itself to do the heavy lifting. You have to actively build a tradition around the gift.
Ah, because a physical gift eventually breaks or fades, but a tradition becomes permanent.
Exactly. Let's look at the mechanics of building this. If you buy that copy of Catan or Monopoly, the cardboard box is not the actual gift. It's not.
No. The gift is the mandate you create alongside it. You institute a weekly game night, same night every single week, no exceptions, and you put a literal basket by the front door where every single smartphone has to go before the first dice is rolled.
Wow. You are building an emotional infrastructure.
That's a perfect way to put it.
And the Source says the exact same thing for the streaming subscription, right? You don't just say, here's the password.
No, that's just the utility bill again.
Right. You mandate a monthly movie night where every family member takes turns picking the film. And I love this specific detail. You have to follow through even and especially if the movie chosen by the youngest kid is objectively terrible.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because bad movies often make the absolute best memories.
They really do.
You sit there, you groan, you roast the terrible special effects together. You are sharing an inside joke.
It's all about the shared joke.
If you buy event tickets, you make a conscious effort to turn it into an annual outing. You are building anticipation into the family calendar.
Anticipation is huge. 10, 20 years from now, nobody is going to remember the specific brand of the board game you bought or the specific title of the terrible movie.
No, not at all.
But they will unequivocally remember Sunday Game Night or Terrible Movie Friday as a foundational, immovable part of their family DNA.
Wow.
The real gift isn't the item. It's the architecture of time spent together.
The architecture of time. That is just brilliant. But I know someone listening right now is thinking, okay, I love all of this, but how do I actually choose which one of these to do? Do I buy the tent or the baking box?
It can be overwhelming.
Right. But the Pidcot source gives us a ridiculously easy, stress-relieving framework for this.
Yeah.
Quick picks and vibe matching.
Yes. Vibe matching is the key to avoiding total failure here.
The advice is so freeing. Do not force your family to radically change their entire routine to fit your grand vision of a perfect holiday.
People hate changing their routines.
They do. You just match the gift to what your family already naturally enjoys doing on a lazy weekend. I was reading this and it made me think of computers.
Oh, how so?
Well, trying to force a family of indoor, comfort-loving cats to suddenly go rugged, off-grid camping is like trying to install a Mac operating system on a decades-old PC.
Huh.
It doesn't matter how good the software is, the system is just going to crash. You have to match the vibe.
That is a phenomenal analogy. The cognitive load of changing a family's entire set of ingrained habits is massive.
Massive.
It causes friction, resentment, and ultimately the gift gets abandoned. But piggybacking on an existing habit is completely effortless.
Effortless connection.
If your family already loves arguing about movies, get the streaming sub. If you already like hiking, get the gear.
Match the vibe.
The question shifts away from the incredibly stressful, what on earth should I buy to impress them,
right,
to the much simpler, more observant question, what do we actually already enjoy doing together, and how can I provide a tool that makes more of that exact thing happen?
It is such a massive release to hear that. You do not have to reinvent the wheel. You just have to grease the wheels of the fun you are already having.
Exactly.
So when we zoom all the way out, what does this actually mean for you listening right now?
Well, if we synthesize all of this, it raises one final, truly important question for you to mull over as we head into this season.
Let's hear it.
If the ultimate goal of any gift-giving occasion is genuine, lasting connection, how much of your current teeth-grinding holiday stress is simply the cost of avoiding presence?
Oof.
What if you boldly traded the anxiety of buying 10 perfect isolated objects for the courage to just sit in a room with your family fully engaged with nowhere else to be?
Wow. Trading the anxiety of objects for the courage of presence. That is incredibly powerful and a little confronting in the best way possible.
It changes everything.
The real gift isn't the object. It is laughing together until your stomach hurts. It's having no rush to be anywhere else.
That's right.
It's putting the screens completely away, unless, of course, it is your designated terrible movie night.
Gotta have the terrible movie night.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just time well spent. Whether you are flipping the board over Scrabble, complaining about the cold on a steep hike, or eating retro candy on the couch. And truly, isn't that the only gift that ever actually mattered?
It really is.
Thank you for listening to the Pidcot Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.
Be sure to check it out.
Please subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. Thank you for being there with us, and don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.